Onward Now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. And now, the end of the show. We are at peace with what we've done with our program. Our families have given us the support and adulation we really, really needed. We thank the universe for our production lives, but now we're headed to the other side. Please join hands with the person next to you. Sorry about being so macabre, and no, this really isn't the funeral for our show, but have you ever wondered what your funeral will be like? What people will say about you when you're gone? Mo Rocca knows a thing or two about words spoken about the dearly departed because he hosts the Mobituaries podcast and has written a book called Mobituaries, Great Lives Worth Reliving. He's also a correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning, host of Innovation Nation, and longtime panelist on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Death becomes you, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Why write about obituaries and how people are remembered?
I think that there are people that didn't get the send-off they deserved the first time. And I think that there are people that, even household names, people that are still famous, like a Sammy Davis Jr. or a Marlena Dietrich, I think aren't remembered maybe in the way that they should be. And there are people that were never celebrated. And things and beliefs don't get obituaries.
We are creatures of putting things in boxes, right? We prefer black and white to sort of the nuanced gray. So what happens is a person is remembered in a certain way, right? They're remembered and that becomes sort of the permanent way.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of messiness. I do think that there's a tendency. We only have so much in this overused word bandwidth, but that's to the detriment of how people are remembered. Like somebody like a Billy Carter is remembered as a joke. And
Billy Beer.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And Dan Rather told me even the dogs wouldn't drink it.
Oh.
But it really was bad. But Billy Carter was a complicated, funny, hardworking guy. I talked to President Jimmy Carter about him. And he was also an alcoholic who in the last chapter of his life went around the country talking to people who could relate to him about their own struggles with alcoholism. So he was a full human being. Of course he was.
Is there anything, any story from your book that stood out to you about Los Angeles, about Southern California?
The story of Lois Weber is an interesting one to me. She was the first woman to direct a feature film in 1914. She directed a version of The Merchant of Venice. And her name was really said in the same breath as D.W. Griffith and Cecil B. DeMille in early Hollywood. In one year, she directed 10 short films. She was the first to use a split screen. It was really a triptych in a movie called Suspicion. She acted in a lot of the movies as well. But she was a very, very big deal until she was forgotten. But that aspect of Los Angeles in the film industry was so interesting to me that there were no rules yet. So anyone who had the drive and the talent could do it. And then when Hollywood became big business and the banks took over, then I imagine like the Monopoly guy with the cigar chomper coming in and saying kind of like, ladies, step aside. This is now real business.
She could also be painted as a little unsavory as well because of her beliefs.
Well, she had been an evangelist.
Yeah.
She brought her proselytizing to film. She made a movie called Where Are My Children that actually my mother was watching the other day and was kind of riveted by on TCM. Yeah. They showed it. It essentially espoused eugenics, the idea that white, upwardly mobile, middle-class white women should not be getting abortions, that abortions should be for the poor and for women of color. But it should be said that her beliefs were typical of the day. They were not atypical.
But is that an example of we remember her for that? Like she never renounced that. She never said, you know, no, I really don't believe this.
Well, I don't think she's remembered at all, which I think is the larger point is that, I'm interested in these little pockets of history. They're almost like they seem like Camelot, like mythical periods, but they really existed where there were women doing a lot in this case in Hollywood and had power in Hollywood in this very early period. Is it more Camelot or is it more Brigadoon?
Oh, I'm not
sure. I love
my
musicals, but like, you know, I think both could
Oklahoma,
work here.
Maybe Oklahoma? No.
Not Oklahoma, though I love Oklahoma. I mean, Agnes DeMille. Well, I mean, I want to do an obituary on Agnes DeMille.
Really? Yeah. Is that next? Is that the sequel?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Everything's up to date in Kansas City. Sorry, this is not Greater Kansas City. They've gone about as far as they can go.
This is Greater LA. Sammy Davis Jr., you mentioned, right? Yeah. Now, there's someone who, again, nobody really thinks about these days, right? Like, he's been gone a while.
Sammy Davis Jr. was interesting to me because he represents not just the passing of an extraordinary talent, of a quintuple threat, actor, singer, dancer, impressionist, a gun spinner, right? And in all those things...
Rat Pack.
Right. And in all those things... he's better pretty much than anyone else. I mean, there's this light from within. But he represented the end of a kind of entertainment. Like, I think a lot of people now think wouldn't call themselves an entertainer. They would think, oh, that's sort of cheesy. What I admire about Sammy Davis Jr. is that there was nothing ironic about him. He never made fun of the material, and he always elevated it. Like, you can go on YouTube and you can find him singing the theme song to Chico and the Man or to Maude, and you're going to roll your eyes back. But then when you hear it, you go, my God, he's totally committed. And that takes a kind of bravery, I think. It's remarkable. He died on the same day as Jim Henson. I'm very interested in people who died on the same day, just because I think it sort of highlights the randomness of life and death.
Jim Henson probably got the bigger, the more notoriety.
You know, I actually have a Google Doc that my producer, Megan Marcus, put together of, and they sort of split most front pages, as opposed to Michael and Farrah. When Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett died, Michael Jackson dominated the headlines. When Mohandas Gandhi and Orville Wright died on the same day, Mahatma Gandhi got the banner headline because he'd been assassinated, and India had only been independent for about a year, and Orville Wright lived 45 years past the flight at Kitty Hawk. So
you're really in your element right now, by the way.
Thank you so much. I'm feeling it. I'm in the moment
he
right now.
He has no notes, by the way. Nothing. It's just coming right out of his brain.
Right. And Orson Welles and Yul Brynner dying on the same day, of course. And, of course, Annette Funicello and Margaret Thatcher dying on the same day. And I like to imagine kind of a weird Freaky Friday reboot where they switch places in the afterlife.
Ooh.
And Maggie Thatcher stars in How to Stuff a Wild Bikini.
Chilling Skippy Peanut Butter.
Right. Exactly. Right? That's right. Yeah. Skippy. That was Annette Funicello. You're right.
It sure was. Right. The Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah. And what was the question?
I want to talk about some politicians in California as well. There was a former governor of California.
Romualdo Pacheco.
Yeah.
So I'm interested. I think it's interesting. Look, most Californians know that California used to be part of Mexico. But this, you know, I think that most Californians, if you said, who was the first Mexican-American governor of California, would say, what are you talking about? There hasn't been one. There actually was one. Romualdo Pacheco was what's known as a Californio, which is a word I love, which means that he was one of the landed gentry of the California territory before it was part of the United States. Mm-hmm. So he's a Californio. Very few people get to call themselves a Californio.
Like a politico? Is that what that is?
It's a name, like a Californio. I mean, I just love
Angelino.
Right.
Right.
But he was a Californio. It's like,
I've never heard that term.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah. And he became not only the first Hispanic member of the House of Representatives of the U.S. Congress, he was also governor of California at one point. And so the cyclical nature of history is very interesting to me, because surely there will once again be a Mexican American governor of California at some point.
Does it get depressing talking about dead people?
No.
Do people ask you that?
Okay, I'm going to give you a canned answer right now. I've been working on this one. Tell me how this goes over. If you're feeling anxiety in the present about the future, the past is a great place to be.
Oh.
I don't know. It's a little
You're saying we shouldn't live in the past.
I'm saying that the past is not an escape. I think the past gives us context, and I think it can give us reassurance. And I also, by the way, highly recommend dealing with dead people. They're very easy to deal with. Dead people don't have publicists. They don't have writers.
Well,
they have estates. That's true sometimes.
They certainly do.
Yes, that is true. I don't find it morbid, and I don't find it stressful, because I think everybody wants to be memorialized in some way. And they don't. We're all going to be forgotten, but it would be nice if people remembered us for just a little bit.
And the right way, the way you want them to remember you.
Yeah.
And not necessarily the way that sort of, you know, the permanence of
legacies. Listen, Steve, I don't want to be remembered as a screen siren. I want to be remembered for my 18 months at the front during World War II, you know, performing for five servicemen in a foxhole with howitzers flying overhead. Sorry, that's Marlena Dietrich, yeah, but you get my point.
Exactly.
Mo Rocca, who wrote the book Mobituaries, has the podcast Two Great Lives Worth Reliving. Mo, my condolences.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Do you want me to send flowers or food?
I have to think about that for a second. Definitely food. Send food, Mo. That's it for today. Tomorrow, LA's newest homeless shelter is quite the educating experience. Next on KCRW, it's The Business with Kim Masters. We're online at kcrw.com/greaterLA. Not only can you subscribe to the podcast, little yellow icon there, just click it. You can also share your thoughts with us there as well. Jenna Cagle, PJ Shahamat, Sonia Geis, Amy Ta, Phil Richards, Ray Guarna, and Christian Bordahl all make this show happen each and every day, and so do you. Thank you for your time and for your ear. I'm Steve Chiatakis on this Monday. Have a great day.